You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want to talk to you on a topic called We Need a Hero. Say that with me one time. We need a hero. Look at somebody and say, we need a hero. Maybe you believe it, maybe you don't believe it, but I want to see if I can convince you that there's a hero inside of you, that something on the inside of you is heroic, something that God put there is there to solve a particular problem. It's not there by accident. And so whether you believe in yourself today, whether there's people in your life that believe in you or they don't believe you're heroic enough to even get a cat out of a tree, I want to tell you today, you're a hero. And I want to tell you this story about this this person that started off. He was an unlikely candidate to be a hero. His name was Moses. And his story here in Exodus 2, a particular portion of his life. You know, it had the normal makings of a hero's story. There was a mess. There were some things that needed to be fixed. Some injustices that needed to be solved. But he didn't look like he was the one that would be the hero. Will you turn with me to Exodus 2:11? Exodus 2:11. We're going to cover some of the same scripture. It's a different vantage point. Some of the same scripture from last week, but we're going to continue on in Exodus 2 to see a full picture of what was going on here with Moses. It says in verse 11, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up on your friend?" Moses said to the one that had started the fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you did that Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came as usual to draw water and fill the water troughs for their father's flock. But some of the other shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds, and he drew water for their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked, "Why are you back so soon?" "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds," they answered. "And then he drew water for us and watered our flocks." "Then where is he?" their father asked. "Why did you leave him there? Invite him to come and eat with us." Moses accepted the invitation, and he settled there with him. In time, Reuel gave Moses his daughter Zipporah to be his wife. Later she gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom. For he explained, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land." Years passed, and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. Now, if you ask me, the story that we see here in Exodus 2 is one of a man that just gets in a lot of fights. He's a brawler. So I want to talk to you about four fights that Moses enters into. But maybe you have had a Moses in your life. Maybe you had somebody that was a brawler that you knew. For me, it was my cousin, one of my close cousins. He just, he always seemed to get into fights. Fights for any type of thing. Sometimes it was, he was protecting somebody. It seemed legit. But then other times, it was just, you know, for something trite. He just wanted to give somebody a fat lip. I mean, I'm talking not a verbal confrontation. I'm talking about physical altercation. How many people have somebody in your life like that, or had somebody in your life like that? All right. This is Moses. He was always getting into fights here in Exodus. And let's look at these four fights that Moses has. The first fight, Moses fights in anger. He kills a man. He's angry. He's... Verse 11. Verse 13, the second time he tries to break up a fight, and it's two Hebrews that are fighting each other, and he doesn't really understand why they're disagreeing. He doesn't really understand their shoes because he hasn't walked in their shoes. So he enters into their fight and he fights in ignorance. So he fights with anger, he fights with ignorance. And verse 17, he just gets into Midian, just sits down at the well, and he's entering into another fight. This time he's protecting the daughters of Reuel. He fights to protect. Now this is a better type of fight, all right? We're getting better. He's improving. But the fourth fight, verse 25, begins his journey back. And it's the beginning part of God commissioning him to go back to Egypt to fight for freedom. Fight for the freedom of the Hebrews. Very quickly we see the first two fights are fought for the wrong reason. They're fought the wrong way. The second two fights are fought the right way. So he goes from anger and ignorance to protecting and freeing. From anger and ignorance, there's a lot of different fights that we can enter into our lives. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's some battles that we're facing right now. Maybe you're at a good place and you're defending what you have already won, or you're at a place where you're fighting for the promise that God has given you over your life. You're fighting for a promotion, or you're fighting for something that needs to be fought for. I want to ask you really quick, what type of three questions about your battles? Three questions. Question number one is, what battles are you fighting? First off, we have to identify the battles that are in our lives. Sometimes we get in the middle and we're just frustrated and we realize, you know what? I'm fighting a battle here. I'm fighting a battle. What battles are you fighting? Are you protecting something? Are you protecting someone? Are you protecting yourself? Are you protecting an idea? Are you just fighting out of frustration because you're angry? Is it an emotional fight? Now, I just want to talk to the men for a second, because the men folk sometimes always want to put the emotional thing on the women. But the truth is, guys get emotional too. All right? Now, our emotions can seem tougher. We're angry. We're frustrated. Whatever your emotion is, though, if we're fighting in emotionalism, we're fighting for the wrong reason. We can be fighting the wrong battles. So what battles are you fighting? Question number two, why are you fighting? Sometimes we get into a battle and we get in the middle of it. We're fighting, we're blows are throwing in. You start, what was I fighting for in the first place? Why are we even in this disagreement? You ever got into an argument with somebody and in the middle of the argument you just said, what started this argument? This is just stupid. Why are you fighting? Maybe you're fighting for the wrong reasons, or maybe you're fighting for a good cause, but you've got the wrong motivation. When Moses fought the second fight, he's trying to break up two Hebrews, and in the external, it seems like he's doing something noble, but they rejected his help. Why was it? Maybe because it was more about his ego. Maybe it was more about him being the hero than it was about him doing the right thing. We have to examine our motives sometimes. Sometimes on the exterior, it looks like we're doing the right thing, but maybe on the inside, we have a reason that, the wrong reasons. And it's important, because when we're in the dangerous territory of battle, that we're fighting the right battles and we're fighting for the right reasons. What are we responding? Are we responding in the natural with our emotions? Are we responding by the Spirit to serve, to see justice done? Third question is this: what weapons are you using? What weapons are you using? You know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? You can't come in. The Bible says, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're divine in nature to pull down strongholds. So sometimes we walk into a spiritual battle and we're got natural weapons in our hands. We're trying to reason or rationale something out that there is spiritual involvement in, and there's no way to win a spiritual battle with natural weapons. And so the first thing is we need to make sure we're fighting spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. But I'll go even further than that to say we have to make sure we're using the right spiritual weapons, right? I can come in and I'm trying to build, or I'm trying to fight with kindness, trying to build in kindness, but I need to be using wisdom. Or I'm trying to restore in faith when I should be restoring in love. I can be fighting something and battling something season after season and year after year. And why am I not getting the breakthrough? Because I'm not using the right weapon. Some of you may be have fighting a certain fight for a long season. It's been a long battle. You've been getting weary even. Take a look at the weapon. Make sure you're using the right weapon. The Holy Spirit gives us a lot of weapons, but the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So maybe the knowledge of the right weapon is what you need in this season to overcome, to be victorious. What weapon are you using? Because I believe God has made you. God has made me. God has made each and every one of us in this room the solution to some problem. You are the solution to a systemic problem. You are the solution to a problem that's around you. You are the solution to a problem in the world today. How many believe that you are created with the divine design? Within your divine design is the fact that you are a solution to a problem that's going on the earth. You're not just a child of the King. You're not just a child of God. You're a child of God with a purpose. The fourth and the first fight that Moses has, it's the same problem, the oppression of the Israelites. But what he learned in his journey between the first and the fourth fight made all the difference in the outcome. The first time he fought by the natural, the first time he fought in anger and frustration. The second time he fought that same battle, he fought by the Spirit, and he followed the Spirit, and he was victorious. He won. And so we have to make sure that we're operating, we have the right weapons, that we're operating by the Spirit, that we're being obedient to the Spirit, and we're listening to his voice if we want to be victorious in the battles that we face. And listen to this. There's a journey that goes along with it. Turn to somebody and say, there's a journey. We have to let God develop you into the answer. Let God develop you into the answer. Let me give you a picture of Moses here. He goes on a journey from being a killer to being a leader. Being a killer on the run to a leader. Being an outlaw to the one that brought the law. He went from being a, if you'll have it, vigilante to being a hero. Because that's what happens when we see a problem that's a very real problem and we try to apply our own solution, things get messy. There's collateral damage. We're not solving problems by the principles of God when we try to solve problems with our own brand of justice and our own brand of solution. We end up being a vigilante instead of a hero. God called us to be heroes, but oftentimes we fall into the vigilante category. It's either God's code or our brand of justice, because we can think that we're doing the right thing, but if we're operating outside the principles of God, we cease to be who we were created. If we're operating outside the principles of God, listen, we cease to be who God created us to be. We're just rogue agents trying to see justice done as we see fit. But the problem is when we try to fix stuff with our own ability, guess what? We kind of fix it and then we kind of create three other problems. That's what vigilantes do. Heroes fix the problem. When we think we have to start painting outside of God's word to make things happen, that's where we get off track. That's where we get into vigilantism, right? Vigilantism. When we think we have to use secular wisdom and marry that with biblical truth, we become a vigilante. We think we have to borrow from the world and add that and mix it together with the word of God to make ourselves more successful. Can I tell you that you cannot achieve the dreams of God by the methods of man? There's no need to mix the methods of man with the truth of the word of God and try to bring forth a successful solution. God is looking for heroes. The world is looking for heroes. The problem is sometimes we're mixed up. God's heroes are mixed up. They've mixed up biblical truth and pop culture. They've mixed up something that's the word of God with something that's politically correct. Something that is part of the culture versus something that's part of God's culture. The world is looking for heroes. Turn to somebody and say, the world is looking for heroes. This is what I believe. Romans 8:19. Let's look at this. Turn to somebody and say, the world is looking for me. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Right? The whole creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God. So the world is waiting for you to suit up, to be revealed as the hero that they need. Now, I'm not talking just about people. The plants, the animals, the substance of the earth is waiting for you to rise up and take your place as a son, as a daughter of God, as your identity in Christ. The world is holding its breath for us. The heroes that God has created. When you walk in your identity in Christ, you're what the world is crying out for, what the world is longing for, what the world is waiting for. But you have to settle in your mind what your identity is. Can I tell you about Moses' story? So he goes and he's trying to do his good, right? But he's still kind of in this journey from vigilante to hero, because at the well he's protecting the young women, and when they go back they say, well, who rescued you? It was an Egyptian. Wait a second. So Moses still looked like an Egyptian. He left Egypt, but he still looked like an Egyptian. There's an expression that says you can take the person out of the world, but what? It's difficult to take the world out of the person. That was Moses. He still looked like an Egyptian. What? Why did they think he was an Egyptian? Was he dressing like an Egyptian? Was he talking like an Egyptian? Was he thinking like an Egyptian? Yes. Was he walking like an Egyptian? What was it? Okay, we can't do that joke next week, because we did it last week too. Okay, please don't make me do that joke again. There was something about him that still looked like the world. His process was not complete, and I want to challenge you with this. What do you look like to the world? What do you look like to people around you? Do you look like a child of God, or do you look a little bit Egyptian? It's time to make sure that you know who you are, and also that others know who you are. If the world is looking at you and you still look like an Egyptian, change what you look like. Change what you look like. If you want to be who God called you to be, you're going to have to lay some things down. There were some things about Moses. Maybe it was the shirt. The shirt kind of gave him away as an Egyptian. Maybe it was the shoes. Come on now. As believers, sometimes the places that we're walking isn't the right places, the things that the way we're handling things, the language that we're speaking doesn't match up with the new identity, so people think we're still Egyptian. If there's anybody with Egyptian heritage in the room, please know it's a symbolism. I'm not talking about actual Egyptian people. Which there are technically no more full-blooded Egyptian people anymore. Okay, that's another. Maybe there's some areas in your life that God wants to take, that he wants you to take a look at today. Maybe God is saying, you're doing real good over here. You're doing a great job over here. But this area right here, I want you to take a look at. There's still a little bit of Egyptian here. Maybe you're going about your Christian life. Maybe you're serving in ministry even. But part of you still looks Egyptian. Maybe you're trying to walk out this Christian life, but God is trying to tap you on the shoulder and saying, consider this area of your life. Consider this. You know, in the comic books, the superheroes have, they have their identity that everybody looks to them and celebrates and is excited when they show up to save the day. But then they have a secret identity. They have a second identity. For whatever reasons that they have in their mind, they need to at a certain time be a different person than the hero. Can I tell you, sometimes as believers, we think we need to have a secondary identity. Maybe we're with the certain friends, we have to have some alterations to our identity, right? When we're at church, we can be dun, 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 dun. But when we're over here, I'm sorry, over the last service, it was the other side. This service is right, okay. But when I'm over here with these friends, I feel like I need to change a little bit so I can be liked a little more, and I have a slightly different identity, a secondary identity. It's a secret identity because I don't want these people to know what I have to do to be liked over here. Can I give you this is, as my uncle would say, this is your free part. If somebody doesn't like you, they're not going to like you. If somebody likes you, they like you. If somebody doesn't like you, don't change who you are for people. Don't change your identity for people. God wants you to be who he called you to be 100% of the time. Can I tell you this? In the kingdom, you only need one identity. Who you are in Christ is the only thing that counts, is the only thing that matters. When all is said, at the end of the day, at the end of eternity, the only question you're going to be asked is, who are you? And you can only choose one identity. In the kingdom, what is your identity? The most powerful thing is to discover who we are in God. Lean into that and be that. Not one day, not 2 days, every day. Be that. There's no need for a secondary identity. When I see Christians get it backwards, it makes me just want to go back to the prayer closet. No, we got some work to do. When they feel like they have to juggle, the enemy makes you feel like you have to juggle these different identities. Can I tell you the truth? God knows all your identities. He knows your Facebook profile identity. He knows your identity when you're hanging out with the boys. He knows your identity when you're hanging out with the ladies. He knows all of your identities. You know, sometimes in that other identity, we have a different language. Use different words, have different ideas, different thought processes, different philosophy that we might espouse. Stuff that doesn't really gel with the Word of God. Stuff that doesn't line up with the Word of God. A second identity. But the world is looking for heroes. But as the world is looking for heroes, far too often the heroes are hiding underneath a second identity. What does that say when the world comes looking for the answer and the answer is hidden behind a lie? The world is holding its breath for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, the true heroes of the day. What a thing to be tricked, to be deceived out of the identity that is not only the solution to your life, it's the solution to so many others. You know what I believe God would have for us? I know God would have for us. Stop juggling. Discover. And it's a process of discovery. The deeper we get into God, the more we discover about who we are in Him. Discover that. Lean into that. God doesn't want us juggling different identities. It's not healthy. It's not going to make you happy. It's not going to make more people like you. God told this to Jeremiah. He said, I'm sending you to do some things, to say some things. While you're out there, don't look at the people's faces. Don't look for their approval. Look to me. Look to me. I don't want you worrying about if they like you. I don't want you worrying about if they think what you're saying is right or politically correct or if it fits in with their philosophies. Be who I've called you to be. Don't look at their face. Look at my face. What would God call you today? You know, Jesus said something in Luke 9:26. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I would be more concerned about my identity in God and what God's appraisal of my identity is. You know what? I'm one of those people that likes making people happy. But if it comes ever a question of making God happy and making a person happy, it's going to be God every time. If it's going to be, will you change your identity so that somebody will like you a little more? I can't do it. I've already discovered who I am. I'm a child of God. I've already discovered who I am. My identity is in Christ. I've already discovered who I am. I'm the hero you're looking for. Whether you like me or not right now, I'm the solution. It's time to walk in our identity. It's time to embrace our identity. It's time that we get less concerned about what's politically correct and get more concerned about what's biblically correct. I challenge you. Get in your word more than ever before. Know what the word of the Lord is. The statistics on biblical illiteracy are astounding right now. Do you know that many believers don't read their Bible every day? So a majority of believers that call themselves Christians say they desperately desire to please the Lord. But most of them are not reading enough Bible to actually know what the Lord is desiring of them. We want to know how to please God with our walk, but we haven't read the instruction manual. It's time for us to get a hold of our identity. Grab a hold of who God has called us and walk in that. You are what the world is waiting for. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you that you would help us be who you called us and created us to be. God, continue to help us discover who we are in you. Help us discover our identity in Christ, Lord, that we are the hero that the world is looking for. We are the heroes, the heroines. We are the people that the earth is waiting for, longing for, groaning for, crying for. There's problems in the world today that are looking for the solution that's inside of us. God, help us to know who we are and to know what the fights are that we're supposed to fight, and to fight for the right reasons, with the right motivation, with the right intention, and help us to fight with the right weapons, God. Lord, weapons to build, to protect, to free, to cast out darkness, to bring light, illuminate dark situations. God, help us to be the hero that you need, the hero that the world needs, and let us be strong and courageous in the identity you've given us.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.